At the start of the 1870s, Argentina had just fought the Paraguayan War, a rather vicious conflict that saw the tiny nation of Paraguay decide to fight just about everybody it had a land border with at the same time, with the exception of Bolivia, which was teetering on the edge of a civil war and thus couldn't spare the troops to jump in on the action. What that conflict had brought home to the Argentinian Navy was that it was hopelessly behind in terms of modern ships, although there had been several significant battles with major naval involvement. Almost all the naval strength in those battles had been supplied by the Brazilians. And so in 1872, the government ordered the purchase of a series of new ships, mostly for river work, designed to bring the Navy into the modern era. These ships would be dubbed the Escuadra de Sarmiento, or Sarmiento Squadron, after the president who ordered them, and was made up of two monitors, four gunboats, and two corvettes, as well as some smaller and auxiliary craft. Along with this would come a naval academy to try and formalise crew and officer training. The two corvettes, the Parana and Uruguay, were ordered from Camel Laird's in Birkenhead in the UK. They were named for rivers that ran through, or in the latter case, along the edge of, Argentina, rather than an attempt to lay claim on their recent ally. The Uruguay was completed rapidly, launched in March 1874 and commissioned 4 months later. She displaced around 550 tons with an 11-foot draft and a combined steam sail propulsion which consisted of one screw and three masts that was good for a top speed of around 11 knots. Her armament initially consisted of four single 7-inch guns, one mounted fore, one aft, one port and one starboard. The ship itself was made of steel, with additional wooden planking for insulation. Initially, with no major tensions, something that was quite unusual for South America at the time, she was used as a training ship and a hydrographic research vessel. But in 1878, international tension, and she was sent along with a monitor and gunboat to assert Argentine control of Patagonia, disputing the rival claims of Chile, a dispute that to a certain degree still persists to this day. After this, she spent the rest of the 19th century trading new sailors and occasionally being used as a high-status transport ship for various expeditions. During this period, the original armament was replaced twice, first in 1880 by a pair of 3.5-inch and a single 6-inch gun, and then in 1893, this was replaced with a pair of 4.7-inch guns and two 2.5-inch guns. Then, at the dawn of the 20th century, would come the most exciting moment in the ship's career. Word arrived in early 1903 that a Swedish expedition to the Antarctic had run into trouble, with their ship, also named the Antarctic, being repeatedly trapped in pack ice and damaged to the extent that it had sunk. The crew had made for an island, but had to complete their journey in a lifeboat when the vessel had gone down just in sight of their target. Both because they were the nearest country and because there was an Argentine naval officer in the expedition, the Argentinian Navy was quickly tasked with a rescue operation, and the Uruguay was taken in hand for a rather rapid set of upgrades. A new power plant was installed, which gave her greater power and range under steam, while also taking up less space, with the saved volume being turned over to water and fuel storage, both coal for the boiler and fuel oil for heaters. The hull was strengthened with a series of bulkheads as well as additional reinforcements against the press of ice, plus insulation was installed and a pair of thin steel plates fore and aft to protect the exposed deck areas were placed to protect the crew from freezing spray. She set sail with a hand-picked crew in October, and since this was the southern hemisphere, it meant the sea ice was expected to have started to break up as this was the start of local spring. They managed to find and rescue the stranded expedition, before they'd eaten all the penguins on the island, returning to Argentina in early December. Deciding to keep the refits in place, the Uruguay then spent the next two decades serving as an Antarctic support ship, as well as a survey and supply ship in the deep southern Atlantic, where her refitted capabilities, especially the insulation, were very welcome. But by 1926, it was decided that the half-century-old vessel was really surplus to requirements, and so she was decommissioned and turned into an ammunition storage facility. Although at the start of the Cold War, it was deemed that this was not a suitable end for such a vessel, and so she was repaired, refitted, and rebuilt to her Antarctic configuration, at which point she was turned into a museum ship in Buenos Aires, where she can still be visited to this day.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.